This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We are moving on to our next story because pressure has been mounting for Parliament to be in session. There have been call after call, mostly coming from opposition MPs, but it culminated this week with an open letter from Datuk Sri Azalina Othman Syed, who is the Deputy Speaker of the House.
Yeah, so this was a pretty interesting letter she wrote. Basically, she was questioning the reasoning for Parliament being suspended during the state of emergency. And she also raised concerns that without Parliament convening, MPs cannot keep the government accountable. Legislature cannot be passed. She used the word emasculated. Legislature is emasculated. And she addressed this letter to Attorney General Tan Sri Idris Harun. And she also pointed out how other countries have made adjustments for its legislature to meet during the pandemic. Things like lowering the quorum of MPs, flexible sitting times, broadcasting chamber proceedings, for instance, and it also touched on how the AG chambers had advised the government that all committees established in Parliament, including special select committees, can no longer continue even if they are conducted virtually. And this is something that quite a few people have brought up in terms of why that's the case.
One more element in the letter that I found interesting was she also, aside from MPs keeping the government accountable, she also spoke about access of MPs to experts and how Parliament really opens up the space for those kinds of conversations, for that kind of access. And in talking about things like policy and funding, I think being able to speak to experts who have a grasp on exactly what is going on is also so crucial. Now, there have since been some suggestions as well from political pundits who said, and I think that this this does need to be looked through a pretty critical lens. So Parliament can reconvene if MPs were only to put aside their political agenda, and that is really, in essence, referring to questions on the government's legitimacy. So stop questioning the government and focus instead only on issues relating to people and policy.
Yeah, so Azmi Hassan, who's a geostrategist with University Technology Malaysia, he went so far as to say that, to suggest that MPs produce a pledge in the form of a letter that they wouldn't question the government's legitimacy. Another political analyst, Janiri Amir, said that Parliament could reconvene if they agreed to only focus on things like COVID-19, security, education, the people, and general policy. It feels a little, as you said, I think this needs a little bit of a critical lens, because many people might ask, how do you separate the fact that that people are questioning the legitimacy from discussions of any of these things?
Yes, I would also, I think even if I supported this, and I don't, I think that if you start limiting what can be discussed in Parliament, then it really kind of erodes why Parliament exists and, you know, the role that it's supposed to play in our society. But I think the other thing is, I have to say, when I hear the word pledge, the thing that comes to mind it are all the letters of intent that everybody assured us they had. And so, if you recall, in the early days of all these, you know, fervent, all the craziness, essentially, about who belonged to which party, who had whose vote, there were all these claims about people who had letters, essentially promising support. And so I think that if those weren't binding then, I don't know how this is going to work, but it sounds very much like the same thing. And so then I'm not sure how, even if they did write a pledge, you would actually bind anybody to that.
And I suppose just on a very simple level, if what we are indeed talking about is a hung parliament, how is legislature going to be passed through anyway? In which case, is there even a point in the meeting if you're talking about not sort of like putting this in a bubble that we're not going to address?
Yes. So let us know what you think. Should Parliament reconvene in some form? But also, should it reconvene with this caveat that parliamentarians, I don't even know how to phrase this, cannot engage in political discussions? only people and policy. They cannot talk about the government and its legitimacy. Is this the way forward for us to have Parliament back in session? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at PFM Radio. After this, we will be crossing over to political scientist Professor Wong Chin Huat. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:46. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about the calls for Parliament to reconvene. This is stemming from, steady pressure over the last few weeks, but also an open letter from the Deputy Speaker of the Dewan Rakyat, Dato' Sri Azalina Othman Syed, this week. However, some political pundits have suggested that Parliament can reconvene should MPs put aside their political agendas and look only at issues relating to people and policy. We want to know what you make of this. What will it take for Parliament to reopen? Is this something that you think is important? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now crossing over to political scientist Professor Wong Chin Huat. Chin Huat, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with this. Could you briefly lay out the impact of Parliament not sitting for the foreseeable future, and in fact, what the impact has been of Parliament not being in session so far?
It basically makes our government, both federal and the 13 state governments now, unparliamentary, meaning that they are still civilian. We do not have militaries, police in power, but they are no longer accountable to an elected body. And in the parliamentary system, it has to come from there. Realistically speaking, the biggest difference we are looking at is without parliament in sessions, then the government cannot be overthrown. And that brings a big difference here. If the reason that why government is imposing emergencies to save itself, then what if it cannot feel confident, how long would this emergency be expanded? That's a question we really need to ask, because that we are now living the assumption that it would end on August 1st or any time earlier when the special committee believed that it is all right. But if we look at it, this emergency was proclaimed just before MCO 2.0. Now that MCO 2.0 is lifted for all but four states, why do we still have this emergency? It really comes back is to disable the parliament, and that's the trouble.
Now, some analysts have said that it is possible to reconvene parliament if politicians can stop questioning the PN government's legitimacy. Is this a realistic scenario?
No, it's not. And it's very wrong to ask that the parliament to forfeit its own power, its right, to question the government legitimacy. We have to remember that without parliament, no government can be legitimate in a parliamentary system, because we do not have a president that is directly elected. So the point here, what we need to ask, is to stop looking at politics as something dirty, and there is apparently some part of public affairs that is clean if politicians are not thinking about power. That's completely wrong. What we need to do is to ask whether the politicians are competing for power in a professional way. So come back to this, what we need to look at. If the government is so fearful of having its majority loss in this situation, then what we need is for the government to reach out to the opposition and seek a confidence and supply agreement, a CSA, so that the opposition would actually allow the government to survive in exchange for whatever deal they need to reach. That would be the real way to talk about how to solve this. And instead of saying that you allow a government to be in power, even if you think that it has lost the confidence of the House.
So recently, Deputy Speaker Dato' Sri Azalina Othman Syed did write an open letter questioning the reason for Parliament's suspension, in essence saying, mirroring what you've just raised, that parliamentarians can't keep the government accountable if it's not, if it's not in session. What are your thoughts on the points that she raised in the letter?
I completely agree, except that I think that I do not sign up to the idea that we need to accept from not being a deputy speaker. I don't have to sign up to the idea that we have to accept the emergency until August 1st. I think that the emergency should be lifted now. this emergency is imposed purely for a political calculation because the government fear that it cannot survive the parliament. Why so? Now, with this Emergency Ordinance 2021, it has stated that the government that had already been installed in the federal at the state level would remain in power. So that takes away of any changes. But assuming even without that, as long as Parliament is not in session, the only way to throw out the government is to go to the palace and present a list of MPs that say to support a new government, right? But this was not possible under the situations because that there is not a positive majority, if you like, for the next prime minister. So no one could agree, people who don't like this government, they cannot agree that who should be the next prime minister. However, there is a negative majority against the government. So as long as that once the parliament is in session, the negative majority may emerge as long as the speaker or any of the deputy speaker who is presiding the meeting allow a certain tabling of vote of a motion of no confidence. That was really why the government is preventing this. But this fear is irresponsible because if the government is so fearful of parliament, what it means that it would extend after 1st of August all the way until budget, because budget is another time for you to kill the government. And then until when? It will be indefinitely. That would make Malaysia an unstable destination for investment and business. That's bad for economy, even if you look beyond democracy.
Now, Dato' Sri Azalina is, of course, Deputy Speaker of the House, and this call by her to reconvene Parliament, does it signal some kind of a rift between her and Speaker Dato' Azhar Harun?
I do not know the detail, but I would suppose that they probably were not on the same page on this, and this is a good thing to cherish because that while in the House, the Speaker should have the final authority. But since the House is suspended, I think that I treasure very much Dato' Azalina with 17 years of elected parliamentarian to speak her mind and to speak in such a clear way for us to understand the situation better. And I think it was a very brilliant strategy that she reaches out to the Attorney General, who by design was supposed to provide independent legal advice to the government.
So, from your observations, is there enough political will to try and get Parliament reopened from the MPs themselves?
The MP cannot do anything for the very simple reason that to open this, it comes from only three forces that could do so. One is the court. If the court were to rule out that this, in one way or another, the emergency is not constitutional, then it gets lifted immediately. Secondly, that the government, if the government find the strength and the courage to find a political solution, then of course it can lift it. And thirdly, it would have to come from the people. If ordinary Malaysians all can see what happened and they respond to this with a clear voice, then the politicians' choices would be confined. They would have to respond to it. I mean, the best example is today what happened with the Malaysia Kidney verdict, that the new porters managed to raise more than 500,000, now heading towards 600,000 within a few hours to pay the fine imposed by the court. Coming back to that, while MPs cannot reconvene the House, there's nothing really from suspending their brains to work, to think out solutions, to prepare for the days when parliamentary rule is resumed. And this is particularly important if you look at the Malaysia Kidney case. We really need to study and say, should we allow contempt of court to go that far? Is there anything we need to look at, the Evidence Act or the Communications and Multimedia Act and so on? And we have a parliamentary select committees on fundamental liberties and constitutional rights. That committee, of course, is now suspended because of the emergency ordinance, but nothing really stopped the MPs for having unofficial meetings to debate, to deliberate all those issues and prepare themselves for a solution that can be put in place the moment that the parliament can resume its function. So I here call our MPs not to stop what they do. All they have lost is the official power, meaning whatever meeting they have now cannot automatically have any derive any power from their positions as MP. However, nothing stopped them from finding all the solutions now so that once they resume their power, they can actually execute it.
So some MPs have commented that once all lawmakers have been vaccinated, Parliament can once again continue. What do you think the likelihood is of this happening, that Parliament will reopen after that?
My analysis remains the same, that the decision to open or not to open the Parliament is not pandemic, but politics. As long as the government is so fearful that a negative majority can emerge on the floor of Parliament and the Speaker or the Deputy Speaker cannot be trusted to reject any motions of no confidence, then the emergency may be prolonged at the expense of both our democracy and our economy.
Chinua, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was political scientist Professor Wong Chin Huat weighing in on the fact that Parliament has not been in session, of course, ever since the emergency ordinance was passed. And there have been increasing calls for this to not be the case, for Parliament to sit in some form or another, whether with distancing, whether with fewer people, whether virtually. And there has also, of course, been a very interesting, and I would really recommend that you read it if you haven't yet, open letter from Datuk Sri Azalina Othman Syed, who is herself the Deputy Speaker of the Dewan Rakyat. So we want to know, what do you make of this? Should Parliament be able to sit, or should it only be able to sit, as some pundits have suggested, if MPs don't engage in any political talk and simply stick to policy? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.